Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, providing the financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Thrivent Financial. Let's thrive.
Will investors gobble up stocks?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Wall Street is hoping for a rebound before the holiday. Blue chip stocks have hit their lowest level in 3 months. The Dow starts the morning at 12,958. It lost 218 points yesterday. The Nasdaq fell 43 to 2593. The S&P 500 dropped 25 to 1433. In Asia today, stocks did rebound, up about 1%. So far in Europe, shares are about 0.75% higher. Investors are waiting for some important information from the Federal Reserve today. The Fed releases the minutes of last month's meeting, and there'll be a lot more details about the economy in there. Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The Fed will be serving up an early Thanksgiving feast today, heaping our plates with predictions for inflation, economic growth, and unemployment for the next 3 years. Until today, projections only looked ahead 2 years. Also, the Fed will start reading the economic tea leaves 4 times a year instead of twice. Oberlin College economics professor Ken Kuttner says Fed critics are hungry for even more information, but this is a good start.
It's not throwing the windows open wide, but it's just cracking them open a bit more.
The Fed is giving us a better peek at inflation for the first time, factoring in volatile food and energy costs. That's a good thing, says former Fed Governor Lyle Gramley.
I think consumers were confused before because the Fed seemed to be saying we don't realize that people eat and drive automobiles.
This feast of information should help us plan everything from when to buy a house to how many people we invite to Thanksgiving dinner. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
As much as I want to see my family during the holidays, I am dreading the thought of flying. I might wear the same clothes the entire trip just so I don't have to check luggage. Of course, I'll still have to go through security or sit on the tarmac for a long time. At least this is on the government's radar. The president announced a few changes last week, like opening restricted airspace during the holidays. And today, a consumer group will start doing their own kind of airport surveillance. Here's Bob Moon.
It's still so bad, it seems, the president himself has been fearing another air travel nightmare before Christmas.
Unfortunately, it's a season of dread for too many Americans.
Some critics complain the fixes Bush announced late last week are hardly more than Band-Aids. Passengers are still being abused, they say, and the airlines keep getting away with empty promises.
They haven't kept one of them.
Kate Hanai founded the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. A former captive passenger herself, she's determined this holiday season will be different. Her group is enlisting volunteer travelers with cameras to record any airline trouble they encounter.
We feel that if we can hold them to task and let them know that we're watching closely, they won't be able to get away with that kind of behavior anymore.
Continue boarding our main cabin. Stop from the reactor aircraft.
Those who do run into trouble can call a special round-the-clock hotline for help if they're stranded on a runway or bumped from an overcrowded flight. You'll find details at the group's website, flyersrights.org. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
There's a new series on Showtime called Californication. That's also the name of a Red Hot Chili Peppers song and album from 1999. The Chili Peppers don't think that's too cool. Yesterday, the band sued Showtime for using the name. The show also features a character named Danny California. That happens to be the title of a Chili Peppers song from last year.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, supporting the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation's mission to cure diabetes and its complications. More at jdrf.org. By BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to an energy-independent America by increased use of public transportation at publictransportation.org.
If you've ever gotten spam emails about a stock deal, I hope you just deleted them. Because they're not only spam, they're a scam. Some people believe the tips. Others think they can sell the stock faster than the scam artists. Those people usually lose their money. Either way, the Securities and Exchange Commission is taking this problem seriously. Alex Goldmark tells us about Operation Spamalot.
About a year ago, I got a hot stock tip in my inbox. I thought maybe it was because I shared a name with the company, Goldmark Industries. But it turns out that same investment advice landed in millions of other inboxes, including Bruce Carpati's. And he works in the enforcement division of the SEC.
And what you saw is basically on December 20th, 2006, the spam email saying Goldmark is making everyone bank and setting a five-day price target of $2.
That's for a stock trading at 17 cents. A week later, it was at 35 cents a share.
In this scenario, the price, yes, it doubled. But the fact is, a lot of these people, they just need the volume to go up, and they'll make huge profits and illegally obtain profits.
It's called pump and dump. The spammers get their hands on some penny stock, then spam innocents like me, hoping we'll bite and drive the price up. A large campaign can boost a stock's trading volume 50-fold. The stock peaks, the spammers sell, sometimes making millions.
We felt it was necessary to do a trading suspension to give the public notice.
The SEC issued 10-day trading suspensions for about 40 companies. If the scammers can't trade, they can't scam. But suspending a company's stock could make it much harder to raise capital. I tried to reach the suspended companies to find out what they thought.
Thank you for calling Goldmark Industries.
That was about as good as it got. So I turned to Cromwell Coulson. He's the CEO of Pink Sheets, an over-the-counter trading mechanism. Well-known companies like Adidas trade on Pink Sheets, but so do many spam stocks.
For the most part, when the SEC suspends them, there is no great uproar from their customers or their employees.
He says most of the companies are tiny, and aside from spam scams, their stocks just don't trade much.
And the companies that are having spam happen are either involved or involved with bad people. Either way, the SEC is providing a great value to markets by suspending these.
Stock spam is down 30% since the anti-spam initiative started. In New York, I'm Alex Goldmark for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.